We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Turn with me in your Bible tonight to Psalm chapter 105. Psalms 105. Psalm 105, let's read starting in verse 37. And of course, this is talking about God. It says, "He also brought them out with silver and gold, and there was none feeble among his tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them had fallen upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give them light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quail and satisfied them with bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and water gushed out. It ran in the dry places like a river." Hallelujah. You know what God did yesterday, what God did in the past, he'll do it again today. And I love this set of scriptures because it ties in with provision from the Lord, not just for finances, but also for physical healing. It says that there was none feeble among his tribes, which the Lord was with those his children as they were going through the wilderness in Egypt. He was taking care of them, and none of them were sick. But what I want to focus on, we're going to take the evening tithes and offerings, and then we're going to go on with the message. But what I want to focus on here is that he delivered the children of Israel from Egypt, which was the most powerful government of its day. He delivered them supernaturally and didn't just take them away from the Egyptians and they had to struggle empty-handed and figure out how they were going to be able to provide for themselves. He provided for them every step of the way as they went. First, they go up to their neighbors in Egypt and they ask them for silver and gold. And because of the way that God had just supernaturally delivered them, they were more than willing to give them all of the loot, all the silver and all the gold. They loaded them up. They said, "Take everything, just get out of here." You know, the thing is that they were in Egypt for a few hundred years. And I could imagine that they probably told stories about the God of their father Abraham, of Isaac and Jacob, and they probably began to wonder, where is this God that we've been told about all our lives? And I can imagine that as they were serving God for generation after generation, serving under this oppressive government, putting them in slavery, that they probably lost faith in God. And you know, sometimes people are that way today, especially when it comes to the area of giving. They feel like, "Well, I've been giving, and I'm always being told that there's a harvest coming, that God is going to provide for my needs. God's word says that he'll supply all my needs according to his riches and glory." Well, where is it? And some people can lose heart in that. The Bible says, though, that if we do not give up, if we'll just keep on pressing on, then in due season, we'll reap a harvest. And so I want to encourage you guys that due season is here, because God is not a God that will be mocked. And he said that he will provide for us, and so he's going to make sure that all of our needs are met. So even after they were serving under this oppressive government as slaves for hundreds of years, God finally delivered them. He used a man to do it. And that's going to tie along into the message that I have on healing tonight, is that God always uses a man. He anoints somebody to deliver the people. And he anointed Moses and Aaron, and they went and they delivered all those thousands, hundreds, actually it was millions of Israelites from that government, and provided for them so much so that even when they were in the middle of the wilderness and there's no food, they're in the desert. I mean, if you've ever been in a place where it looks like, "God, where is the provision? Why did you take me here?" They were even complaining and saying, "Man, I'd rather go back to Egypt where at least we were able to eat." Because now they're in the wilderness And even at the point where the army had them trapped at the Red Sea, and they're like, why would you bring us out here just so that we could die? And God, time after time after time, supernaturally delivered them. He provided them quail from heaven. He provided manna from heaven. They had the best of the best. They had the first Chick-fil-A sandwich there. Quail from heaven and manna from heaven. I mean, I would have made a sandwich. Honey roasted barbecue sauce, amen? Thank you, Jesus. Any Chick-fil-A fans out there? All right, you got a couple. Okay, all right. It's good stuff. Man, where was I with that? I don't even know where it's going. Man, he told Moses to take his staff and strike the rock, and when he did, water gushed forth in the middle of the desert. Impossible. Totally impossible. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever tried to hit a rock with a staff before. I know I have, and nothing happened. I mean, it's totally supernatural when God is leading you and providing for you. And he wants to do that. You could be in the midst of a wilderness, of a place where it looks like there's absolutely no provision, but because you're following the steps that God has called you to take, he's going to provide a way for you. He's not just going to give you a little bit, but he's going to supernaturally take care of you. It said that he provided a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. That means that at night, when if you've ever been in a desert, I haven't, but I'm told that it gets really cold at night. Well, he had a fire in the sky that didn't just give them light to show them where they're going, but it actually would keep them warm as well. They had a cloud by day so that in the middle of a desert when that sun's beating down on you, they had a cloud to keep them cool. And it also provided supernatural direction for them. So trust in the Lord, put your faith in God, that when you sow into God's kingdom, that God is going to make a way for you, that as we sow into his kingdom, he's going to make sure to take care of us. Do you believe that tonight? So I'm going to ask the ushers if they would make the offering envelopes available to you. If you'd like to give, you can go to riverrochester.com/give. You can fill out a check to the River Rochester Church, or you can give cash in the envelope. Just fill it out for us. Hallelujah. God's supernatural provision in the midst of impossible circumstance. Who knows? I don't know what you guys are facing. You might be facing a situation tonight that looks totally impossible. But God, as I preached this past Sunday, he thrives in impossible situations. He loves to show himself strong. And if you'll put your faith in him, you know, the only time that the children of Israel were getting in trouble was when they were disobedient to God and when they were unfaithful and they were complaining about God. But when they were doing what he said, man, he provided everything for them. So be obedient tonight to do what the Lord says do. And I'm going to pray for your seed tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you that this seed that we're sowing into your kingdom comes back with a mighty harvest and produces finances for our families, for ourselves to be able to take care of all of our needs, and so much so that it'll overflow onto those that are in our lives, that we'll be able to provide for those that are around us, that we'll be able to be a blessing to people to expand your kingdom in Jesus' name. And if you believe that, say amen. And if you're ready to give, you can bring your offering up front. Hallelujah. Man, tonight I am so excited for the message that I'm going to be sharing with you. We're preaching on healing, and for the past 4 weeks, I preached messages focused on faith and on you guys receiving a miracle, you guys receiving healing, but tonight I'm going to kind of switch things around. How many of you guys have ever wanted to be able to be used by God in this area where you feel like, man, I would love to pray for people and see them get healed? Anybody? Good. Hallelujah. All right, got the right people among us tonight. So I remember growing up in church, there were so many things that I wanted to do for God. I wanted to tell people about Jesus and be able to pray with them for them to get saved, but I didn't know how to do it. I mean, as silly as that sounds, I thought that you pretty much had to be a minister and that you had to use certain words and that you had to, you know, be extremely anointed to tell someone about Jesus. And then I've always been super excited when it comes to this area of divine healing. I've just always thought, like, man, wouldn't it be awesome to be like the early apostles, that when you go out and you lay hands on people, that they get supernaturally healed? Wouldn't it be awesome to be like Jesus, to be able to just somehow creatively form body parts for people and watch them grow back and see God use you. And I wanted to be used by the Lord for a long time, but I never really heard a whole lot of instruction about it. It was just kind of like, yeah, I mean, the ministers can do that. There's anointed men and women of God that can do that, but can I do that? And I wasn't too sure. I didn't really know about it. And I mean, I probably should have just gone to my Bible and read about it and not really cared what anyone else said on the matter. But I'm going to share with you tonight on how you can be used to heal the sick. Are you qualified to heal the sick? I believe that you are, and I'm gonna share that with you tonight. You know, some of the people in my life growing up that moved in this area the most were people that weren't even actually in full-time ministry. You know, you don't have to be in full-time ministry to pray for the sick, believe it or not. You can just be an average person, or above average, or below average, or anywhere where you fit. You can be used by the Lord in this area of supernatural healing when you pray for the sick. And I'm going to show that to you from the scripture. But before I do, I remember that there was a time where my older brother, I mean, we played all the sports. We were sports fanatics. We played basketball, baseball, soccer in the summer, anything that we could find to play sports, we would do it. And I remember my older brother, he developed knee pain in high school, and it was so bad that he would have to wear a brace, and it was extremely painful, especially when it came to basketball. And I remember that we had gone to a home fellowship. We had like a Sunday night Bible study, prayer meeting at my uncle's house. That was going to our church, and we went there, and there was a man that was there that, you know, I mean, he was involved with the church, but he wasn't in ministry, no ministerial training, but he was there, and he came, and he went over, and he prayed for my brother Tim, and I don't know if he knew about the pain or not, but he put his hand on his knee and just began to pray for him, and when he did that, my brother felt and heard a huge pop in his knee, and it just supernaturally was healed in an instant. All the pain was gone, and it never even bothered him after that. And that's somebody who was never even trained in ministry, someone that was just attending church and believed God. So the power is in believing God, the power is in the believer, and God has called you and me to go out and to heal the sick. Turn with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7. We're going to read verse 7 and 8. It says, "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." This is Jesus' instructions to his 12 disciples as he was sending them out to go and do exactly what we just read. He commanded them and told them to go out to heal the sick. He told them to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's the focus scripture that I want to be sharing with you guys tonight. And you know, I think sometimes we think about the 12 apostles and we almost like elevate them to this place in ministry to think that they're pretty much just like right next to Jesus and that we'll never be able to attain that level of ministry. But believe it or not, they were just average people like you and me before they went into ministry and before they, you know, shook the world in the early church. They were just normal people. They were fishermen. I mean, imagine if we just went down to Point Breeze and just walked up to people and said, "Hey, you know, why don't you just come follow me?" And then 2 years later, they're out preaching and raising dead people. That's the equivalent of what really happened here. Is, I mean, tax collectors, whatever, they were just normal people, but they followed Jesus and they began to believe in God, and then they were used mightily by God. So at this point, they had been with Jesus somewhere between 1 and 2 years. I don't know exactly how long. I looked it up and it said that some study said that Matthew chapter 10 was between the year 30 and 31 AD, which puts it about a year or two of knowing Jesus. So they actually, at this point, didn't even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost yet. And here they're being told by Jesus to go out and to do all this crazy stuff. Raise dead people, cast out devils, heal the sick. It doesn't really seem like they were prepared for that level of ministry. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but as I was sharing before about me, I felt like in order to be used by God to have that level of ministry, raising dead people, healing the sick, casting out devils, that I would have to spend years and years and years and years and years pressing into the things of God, going to church, going to Bible school, learning everything that I could on the matter, and then maybe God would use me. And yet here, after just about a year or two of spending time with Jesus, they were told to go out and do exactly what Jesus was doing. And I'm guessing that they did not feel prepared to do that. Now, I'm all for being prepared. I love being prepared for stuff. Sometimes I over-prepare for stuff. Especially when it comes to ministry, I love to be prepared. I'll spend sometimes a whole day just getting my Wednesday night or my Sunday morning sermon ready. Sometimes I'll spend 2 days just figuring out, Lord, what do you want me to share? Getting the scriptures and figuring out, praying about what God wants me to share. And I believe that there's a place for that to be prepared. Man, when I go hunting, opening day, shotgun season, every year, I become like a military commander in my mind. Where am I going to put my troops? How are we going to best assault these deer this year? Where are we going to have the most carnage? Where is the most resistance going to come from? Man, I'm thinking in my mind, you can ask my wife that I can barely sleep come opening day every year. Because, you know, I have like my brothers and my friends that go hunting with me, and I'm just thinking like, man, should I put them in this stand? And if I put them in that stand, how likely are the deer to come there? Are they able to shoot that far? And I'm going through all of these plans in my mind. I love to plan to be prepared. Man, when we travel, I don't just bring what I need. I bring like 5 times what I need, kind of like, you know, like women get picked on for that. I'm that way because if I'm traveling and I don't want to have to go to the store to get something if I already have it at home, I would rather just bring extra stuff. My dad's sitting here, and the other day we came over to his house and spent a night at his house, and when we pulled up to the house and we started pulling our stuff in, he goes, "Are you guys moving in?" We had so much stuff just for one night, but we just love to be prepared for things. So I'm telling you, in the natural, in my life, I like to be prepared for things. And I think that's good. I think you should prepare for things as much as you could, as you should. And when it comes to your work, when it comes to your job, my job is ministry, so I believe that I should be as prepared as possible for it, and that you shouldn't just do a bad job for things when you can actually take time to prepare for them. Yet, there are moments in your life where you won't feel like you're prepared to do what God's called you to do, and sometimes you just have to step out by faith and believe that God is going to use me anyway. And I'm going to show you and tell you about some stories where, man, God used me to do things, and God's used other people to do things where, in the natural, you don't feel anointed at all. I think that's sometimes like a misunderstanding that we have, that we have to have like this overwhelming feeling of like the presence of God in order to go out and pray for someone and see them get healed. That we have to like see a vision of Jesus and have him tell us, shake under the anointing, crying, weeping, and then like when we go up and we lay our hands on them, man, chances are if we did that, those people would just be like, get the heck out of my way, that guy looks crazy. Man, I'm telling you that more often than not, you'll just feel like you're having an average day when God puts it on your heart to go pray for someone, and God will use you to heal people. So, these disciples, I'm guessing that they hadn't just come off of a 40-day fast when Jesus comes up to them and says, hey, I want you to go out and cast devils out of people. I want you to raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and heal the sick. I'm guessing that they hadn't been praying in tongues for hours of the day. In fact, I know they hadn't, because they hadn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet. And yet here they are being instructed by the head honcho, the chief, our commander, the Lord Jesus, to go out and to do these impossible things. I'm guessing that they probably didn't feel qualified to do what they were being told to do. And that goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of the message, is that like growing up, I felt that there had to be these qualifications that I had to meet in order for God to use me. Really, God wants to use you the moment that you get saved. And that's generally the best time for believers to be used, because they haven't gone to church yet and had a bunch of religious wet blankets thrown on them and told them that, no, you can't do this. You have to do it this way. Structure says this is the way things are done. Man, they're just like, let me just go out and tell people about Jesus. Let me just go out and pray for the sick. I mean, that's the best time to do it. And sometimes we have to get rid of our religious training and our religious thinking and the way that we think that things should be done based on what we've seen other people do, and just go back to the Gospels, just go back to the book of Acts and see how Jesus did it. Because Jesus wants us to be like him, right? Jesus doesn't want you to be like me or me to be like some other minister. He wants me to reflect Jesus. He wants me to seek after him with all my heart. And the same for you. He doesn't want you to try and imitate somebody else. God will use you totally different than he'll use somebody else. So the key is to figuring out what Jesus wants me to do and how he wants to use me. You know, even after going to Bible school, I still didn't feel qualified to go into ministry. I didn't feel qualified to preach or qualified to pray for the sick or any of these things. Because, you know, I mean, I came out of Bible school and sure, I had been taught and trained and I had some, you know, awesome experiences in Bible school. But coming out of Bible school, I was 21-ish years old. And here I am wanting to start a church, and I feel like, well, what do I really have to give people? What life experience do I really have? What impressive stories do I have to tell people? You know, because, you know, especially the more seasoned ministers, if you listen to a man, some of the stories they can tell you will just like blow you away. You're like, oh my gosh, they've been all around the world and preached and thousands of people got saved. And I feel like I didn't have any of that. So how am I supposed to just go into the ministry anyway? Well, because it's all about the book. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about the ministry, the ministry of Jesus. It's all about the Bible and putting faith in that. Stories help. Stories are nice and encouraging and fun, but ultimately our faith has to be in the Word of God. Amen? So even if you feel like you're not qualified, if you believe in Jesus, if he's your Lord and your Savior, then you're qualified. I was going to call this message, You Are Qualified, but I changed the title of this message in my notes to I forget what I wrote, clearly, so I'm stuttering. Something like, you can be qualified, something like that, with the assumption that there might be somebody here that's not saved. I believe that everyone here tonight, as far as I can tell, has made the decision to make Jesus Lord of their life. So if that's the case, then you're qualified. All right? You're qualified to go out to preach to the sick that they can be well, to preach salvation to them, to lay hands on the sick, to do what Jesus said to do, just like he told his disciples to do. Actually, I think you're probably more qualified. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they didn't have that when he spoke these words to them, when he gave them that commandment. It's not about how you feel in the matter. It's not about if you feel qualified or not. It really comes down to just knowing the word, knowing that you're called, knowing that like Jesus told you to go out and do this, and it doesn't matter how you feel, because in your mind, you're going to want to feel spiritual. You're going to want to feel like, I need to have the anointing to go pray for someone. And you are anointed. God has anointed you to go out and to preach the gospel. He's called all the believers to do it. And when he calls you to do it, he also empowers you to do it. And if you haven't been baptized with the Holy Spirit, well, then you need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then you'll really feel qualified to do it. Because that's where the power comes from, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. But and that helps when you're baptized in the Spirit. But even still, just a believer that believes God can go out and shake nations. They can go out and see a region change. They can go out and pray for the sick and see them get healed, because Jesus is the healer, right? Say that with me. Jesus is the healer. Is Jeremiah the healer? No. Is Jordan the healer? No. Is Sarah the healer? No. None of us are. It's Jesus. He's the qualification. So if you believe in him, then you're qualified. But I should just pick on myself, right? Because I have this thing where I feel like I need to have like an overwhelming sense of the anointing before I'm willing to go out and pray for someone that they get healed. I feel like I need to spend hours and hours of time praying in the Holy Ghost before I have enough faith to go out and pray for someone to get sick. I feel like I need to do all these spiritual exercises to stir myself up to get ready to do it. Which goes back to being prepared, and I believe that there is a time and a place for it. But for me, more often than not, the times where I've actually prayed for people and seen them get healed was when I didn't feel anything at all. I just felt totally normal. Just like if you were at a McDonald's and you're eating a burger and you feel no anointing, that's just part of life. That's how I feel more often than not when I pray for people. Because you don't need to feel anything. You just need to believe. You need to believe that when I lay hands on this person, Jesus is going to touch them. I mean, the amount of times that I've been either shopping at Walmart, pumping gas at a gas station, where the only thing that I'm actually thinking about is, man, I just want to get home. I don't want to talk to people. I don't want anything to do with anything else. I just want to go home. Those seem to be the times where like God puts on my heart, go talk to that person and pray for them. And I'm like, God, seriously, I just want to go home. I just want to relax, whatever. Maybe it's been a long day. I don't know. But there's been so many times where like I have that drawing. I know that God's telling me to do that. And if I don't, I've done it before where I've ignored that and I'm just like, whatever, I'm just driving away. That's probably just my mind telling me that. And then all night long, I'm like, I know I should have done that. I know I should have gone and told it. I know I should have gone and prayed for that person. I know that they needed to hear the message. I know that they needed to be healed. And then, so I've learned that it's better just to submit and say, yes, sir, I'll go and do it. And then you do, and you'll feel so much better. And those are the instances where God moves. It's awesome. And the key really isn't about your feelings. I mean, there's been so many times in our own house where either Julia or myself have been going through something. Maybe sickness was trying to come on me. And here's the thing. In Psalm 91, the Bible says that sickness cannot come near your dwelling. But it doesn't say that sickness won't try. Sickness will try. Sickness will attempt to come. It's going to bring symptoms. It's going to bring something your way. And as I've said before, it just depends if you're going to sign for the package or not. And so you have to resist the devil. But there's been so many times where things have happened. I had a headache. Julia burned her finger on the stove. I had back pain, whatever, where I don't feel any anointing. But I'm like, I'm not going to rely on my feelings. I'm going to rely on Jesus and what he's done for us, and I'm going to do what the Bible says anyway. I'm going to lay my hands on my wife. I'm going to lay my hands on myself or whatever is sick, and I'm going to say, in Jesus' name, be healed until the healing comes. Because it's not about feelings. It's really not. And I think that's where we have to, that's one of the main things that we have to get out of our mind. Whether you feel spiritual or not, whether you feel anointed or not, whether you're in fivefold ministry or not, whether you've gone to Bible school or not, doesn't matter. It matters that we believe in Jesus, that he's the healer, that we know that he wants us to be healed, and I'm just going to do what his word says do, which his word said to go out to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Amen? And if you're sick and there's no one around to pray for you, well, lay hands on yourself and you will recover when you pray and believe. So the key isn't your feelings. The key to ministering to people is knowing where the power is, but not just knowing where the power is, being connected to the power. And obviously, in the spiritual sense, we know that all the power is in Jesus. That Jesus is the healer, that Jesus is the one that restores sight to the blind, that Jesus is the one that raises the dead. So we know that, right? It's through him that all things are possible. But the thing is, we can't just know where the power is. We also have to be conducive to letting the power flow through us. You see, if I know where electricity comes from, but I don't understand how it works, I might not be able to use it for anything. Like, let's just say if I had no understanding of the way electricity functions, and there's electricity coming into my house, and I plug an extension cord into something, and I go plug it into a big piece of rubber, and I'm wondering why there's nothing happening, well, obviously, rubber does not conduct electricity. Silly example, but it just shows that you actually have to be, you have to be able to conduct the energy. Whatever you're plugging that electric into has to be able to conduct it. And so we are like the power lines that the power of God flows through. We're the one that have to be connected to the source, which is Jesus, and then the power flows through us, the vessel that carries that energy, and then that goes into whatever we're plugging it into, like a person that needs healing, and then that power that goes through us from Jesus is what gives them the miracle. So we have to know about the energy that's flowing through us. We have to make sure that the power line, which in this example I'm using as our life, doesn't need to be repaired. I'll give you an example, all right? So a couple months ago, we upgraded our internet speed at our house. And it seemed like our internet actually decreased in speed after we upgraded. I'm like, what is going on? I called the cable company several times. Nothing ever changed. They told me to do all these tests. Finally, last night, they actually sent someone out here to our house. And he gets to the house, and he comes over, And he looks at our system, and he's like, well, your system looks good, but let me go check something outside. And where the internet is serviced at our building that we live in, where it comes in, there was some sort of blocking thing that was preventing the total amount of energy to come through. So he actually had to go remove that. Then he had to come in and restart our system and do a couple other tests. And then the energy that was trying to get all the way into our house that actually had the ability to make sure that we had the internet speed that we were supposed to have, it was, even though the ability was there, it wasn't able to work because something was blocking it. And so this guy had to come out and repair it and remove the blockage that was in our life, or in our house. And in our lives, we have the same thing where sometimes there's a blockage there and we're wondering why it seems like the power isn't there. But you just have to make sure that that everything's repaired. If the electricity has ever gone out, it might be hooked up to your house still and everything looks fine, but a mile down the road, there's a telephone line down where the wire broke. Well, that has to be repaired. So there's instances and times in our life where we have to make sure that our life as the conduit, what the energy is or internet is flowing through, is fully repaired and fully able to carry what it's meant to. So if we want to go out and pray for the sick, well, we have to make sure that we're connected to the source and that our lives are pure so that that can flow without hindrance into the other people's lives that we're believing for. If I knew what the source was, like I know that the power comes from, let's say, National Grid, and then I didn't actually have the energy, the electricity connected to my house, but I know that the power is National Grid. Well, it does me no good if I go to my outlet and plug something in because the hookup isn't there. It does no good just to know that the source is National Grid. I actually have to be hooked into the source. Now, I'm going to show you an example here in the Bible where this happened. It's Acts chapter 19 and verse 14. It says, and I'm just going to kind of, you don't have to turn there, I'm just going to, you can if you want, but it says, we exorcise you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? So this is the instance where there's The priest, his name was Sceva, and he had seven sons, and they were trying to cast a devil out of somebody. And so when they go to cast the devil out of somebody, they actually, the devil, that's what the evil spirit inside the person responds with, that I know who Paul is, I know who Jesus is, but I have no idea who you are. And then they actually overpowered, the one guy overpowered all seven of the dudes, and it said that it stripped them naked, and they ran out of the house naked, defeated. Because they knew where the power was coming from, but they weren't connected to the power. They knew that Jesus, whom Paul preached, was the solution. That's where the power comes from, but they hadn't actually plugged into the source so that the power could then flow through. Because if they had known, really known who Jesus was, if they were really a believer, when they went up to that man with an evil spirit, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow, that devil had to go. But because they were just preaching based off of knowledge of what they knew to be the source, they didn't actually have a real acquaintance with Jesus and really have that relationship and know who he was. They were totally ineffective and were easily defeated. But for you guys tonight, we're connected to the source. So we need to know that when we go out and pray for people, that we're directly plugged into Jesus, we're plugged into all the power of heaven, and that all that power is backing us when we pray for somebody. That you don't have to just think like, well, it's just little old me, and I'm not experienced in ministry. I've not, you know, gone to Bible school, so God's not going to use me as effectively. That's a lie from the enemy to try and keep the church weak. The job of the minister is to see the body of Christ all doing the work of the ministry. That means all of us here tonight are meant to, when we go out, lay hands on the sick and see them recovered. We're meant to all go out and share the gospel with people and see the power of God manifest. It's not just about one man or one woman or one ministry. It's about all of the body of Christ together going out and being used to expand the kingdom of God. Amen? So let's move on. I'm running out of time. It says there in that passage that we read before in Matthew 10, it says, freely you have received, freely give. So when you receive something special, you love to tell people about it, or at least I do. When I get something that I really like, I love telling people about it. Hey, this thing that I got, it's totally awesome. You should check it out. And when I really like something, man, I even want to get that just to be able to give away to people. You know, I used to have this pocket knife. It's from the brand Kershaw, and it had one of those assisted opens, so you just hit the button and boom, it pops open, and I loved it. And it fit, you know, like this useless pocket right here in your jeans. It fit perfectly in that, and I really liked it that I could just always keep it there, and it wasn't like in the way of like my car keys or when I went into, you know, I don't like a lot of things in my pockets. It's just kind of one of those things. All right, and so I would always keep it in here, and I like that knife so much that that was like my go-to gift for people. I gave so many of those away that I just stopped buying them because every time I'd buy one for myself, I would end up giving it away because I would be like, man, this knife is so cool. And then I'd be talking to someone and they'd be talking about knives and I'd be like, have you seen this one? And like, you know, let them try it. And they're like, oh, this is awesome. I'm like, oh gosh, you can have it. And so I just had to like stop getting those. You know, just recently, actually this past Christmas, my wife got me this hammock and I hadn't tried it out until like a week ago. And I get in this hammock and I'm just like, whoa. It felt like the presence of God just came on me. It felt so good. It's just super comfortable, and I absolutely loved it. It's so easy to set it up. You can set it up anywhere you go. The minute I laid in there, I'm like, Julia, you got to try this thing. And she gets in there, and we're all three in this hammock with our baby. And I mean, we were just having a blast, and we were talking about it. And I'm like, this thing is awesome. And so what did I do? I started telling people about it. And I'm not just going to stop at telling people about it. I used to give knives away. Now I'm going to start giving hammocks away because I love that thing. And it's so nice to be able to use. The Bible here says, freely you have received, freely give. You know, the last few weeks we've been learning about healing and how we can receive from God to receive a miracle in our lives to be healed. Freely we've received, freely we need to give. Many people have already shared testimonies about how they've received a miracle from God over the last few weeks here. Which is awesome. But now that we've learned how to receive, we need to go out and give what we've received. To show you that you're qualified, turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 16, and we're going to start in verse 15. You know, and while you're turning there, I'll say one thing about this freely you have received, freely give. The example that it reminded me of in nature is that if something is receiving but not giving, it's a swamp. A swamp just takes water in, but it doesn't give water out. And actually, after time, like, it'll actually kill a lot of stuff. And it just becomes stagnant. It starts to stink. And no one likes to go swimming in a swamp, right? But we are the river church. You know, so we have the flow. We don't let any blockages stop our lives up. So we have to let the presence of God come into our lives and then flow out from us. And just as we let healing flow into our lives, we need to go out and let healing flow from our lives into somebody else's. Freely we have received, freely give. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. It'll follow who? Those who believe. Who believes here? Do we have believers? Thank God. We have believers. So that means that these signs will follow all of you. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So if you're wondering if you're qualified for this level of ministry, to go out and lay hands on the sick, it doesn't say to the ministers to go out and do this. It doesn't say fivefold preachers, apostles, prophets, teachers, and so on. It doesn't say they're the ones called to go out and do this. It says if you believe, if you're a believer tonight, well, then this is Jesus, God's word, speaking to you that we're to go out and do this. You are qualified. Say that, I am qualified. You absolutely are. And you might be wondering, well, do I need to have the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of healing in order to have this happen in my life, to pray for people? No. Because this is saying that all believers, anyone that believes, can go out and lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It says that we should do this. It doesn't say that those people that believe and have the gifts of healing will go out and do this. Now, obviously, if you have the gifts of healing operating in your life, it'll be more prevalent. You'll probably see a whole lot more people getting healed. And it'll become a ministry for you. But that's not to say that every other person shouldn't go out and lay hands on the sick and see them healed. This scripture is for all of those who believe, everyone who will follow. Now here's the source, John chapter 14, verse 12. I was talking about the source and how we need to be connected to it and the power that's in it. This is it, John 14, verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, this is Jesus speaking, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father, to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, you see that? Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He repeated himself there. You see that? That if we ask in the name of Jesus something to be done, Jesus will do it. Now that shows you by saying in the name of Jesus that it has to be based on God's word, because God is his word. Jesus was the word made flesh. So you can't ask for something in the name of Jesus outside of his will. It won't work. You can ask for something as much as you want and say in Jesus' name, help me win the lottery tonight. There's no scripture that's backing that, right? But if I say, in the name of Jesus, I command this spirit of infirmity to go out from this person, well, that's scriptural. That happened many times in the Bible. I know that it can happen. I know that healing is the children's bread, that healing belongs to me, that sickness and disease can't come near my dwelling, that God delivered us from all our sickness and disease, that by his stripes we were healed. I know that. So when I pray, Jesus, heal this person, I know that heaven, all of heaven, is backing that word and backing that prayer, that whatever sickness is trying to stand in my way, it has to go in Jesus' name. Amen? If we ask anything in the name of Jesus, that's the power. The power is in Jesus' name. It's not in your qualifications, in your abilities. It's not in your speaking ability. Some people feel like, well, I'm just shy, I'm timid, and I'm scared to approach people. Man, I'm telling you, if you'll get over yourself, because I had to do the same thing. I'm generally that way where I feel like shy and timid and I don't like to approach people. My wife, she loves to be the life of the party. I'm happy just to watch. I'm like, Julia, you just entertain everybody and I'm just going to sit back here and watch. That's how I normally am. But if you'll make yourself step out of that comfort zone and go out and pray for someone and say, you find someone sick and you say, hey, Jesus wants to heal you. How do you know that Jesus wants to heal that person? Because he wants to heal everybody. He comes to give life and life abundantly. He comes to destroy the works of the devil. And sickness is the work of the devil. So you can confidently walk up to a sick person and say, I want you to know that Jesus wants to heal you. Would you like to receive prayer for that? And what sane person would say no to that? So you can lay hands on the sick, whether you know them or not, whether you preached a 10-point sermon to them or not, and pray for them and believe that God is going to back that prayer in Jesus' name. Because it's at the name of Jesus that when we ask in the name of Jesus anything, it will be done. Now, if you have time with people, like let's say it's somebody that you meet on a consistent basis, that you know them, you can minister to them almost differently because you can build the word in them. Every time you see them, you're building them up in the word. You're building them up in the word. And you talk to them about how they can be healed. You have to preach Jesus to people. Let me show you in Acts chapter 14. That's not to say that it has to take weeks. All right, it can happen in an instant. The minute you say Jesus wants to heal you, that person can get the faith to receive their miracle right there. I'm just telling you that sometimes people have to get out of their mind. They have to get out of their head because that's what's been blocking them from receiving from God. And you preach the gospel to them to the point of where they're like, oh, it's not up here, it's down here that I receive it. And so you preach Jesus to people and let them figure out that this is all about Jesus and not about my power. So Acts chapter 14 and verse 8, it says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb. How long was he cripple? From his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leapt and walked. Now, the key here was that he heard Paul speaking. He heard Paul preaching. Where does faith come from? Hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. As this man was listening to Paul, Paul looks at him intently and he sees that this man has faith to be healed because he was hearing Paul preaching about Jesus. That's if you go on to read, it says that he was preaching Jesus to him. Now, if he preached Jesus to him and somehow he got faith to be healed, that must mean that by preaching Jesus, Jesus wants you to be healed. That there is healing in Jesus, that there's healing in the gospel, that there's healing in the cross. That when Jesus died for me, he didn't just purchase my salvation, he purchased healing for me. So Jesus wants us to be healed, and he preached Jesus to this person, and by doing that, he saw that this man had faith to be healed. So sometimes, if you have a moment, you can preach Jesus to that person and tell them, hey, I just want you to know that Jesus wants you to be healed. Well, how do you know that? That's probably what they're going to say. You know, my church, my pastor, he told me that that's all over. Whatever. And you can tell them, oh, this is going to be the best news you've heard all day. The Bible says this, and this, and this, and this. And you can go through a list and encourage them that Jesus wants you to be healed. Now, don't do it judgingly, but do it with an attitude of compassion. You see, that was one of the keys that Jesus operated with, was that he had compassion for people. And that's why I believe that his ministry, part of the reason why his ministry was so effective. Because every time you find a scripture where it says that and Jesus had compassion on a person, man, something crazy was about to happen. When the person was when the mom was dragging out her dead son. She was a widow and she only had one son, and she's walking out of town with the funeral thing. Jesus said that he had compassion on him. It doesn't even say that the woman asked for Jesus to come pray. It just said that Jesus had compassion. When Jesus had compassion on the people when they had no food, and he prayed and multiplied the loaves and the fish. When Jesus had compassion, things happened. And so God will give you compassion for people. And follow that. When you see someone, you're like, man, Jesus needs to heal that person. Go tell them that and pray for them. You can be set free in Jesus' name. Now, there was a bunch of other stuff that I wanted to get into, but maybe I'll get into that next week. For the sake of time, I'm just going to begin to close this message. I wanted just to share just a couple quick testimonies to encourage you in this area that you don't have to be like in full-time ministry for you to be able to go out and preach this message of the gospel and to see people healed and see people get saved and have awesome testimonies happen. The first one that comes to my mind, my wife, she could probably share this way better because it's her testimony. She was in Bible school. She had just recently been saved. And I mean, if you have heard my wife's testimony, she was a horrible person before she got saved. She was an ex-convict. She was a drug dealer. She was a drunk. She was all these things. But then God came in and rescued her life. I always like to do that and make her story sound way more than it really was. But anyway, I mean, she really came out of the world and had no clue about anything about this stuff, about Jesus healing people. But she went to this meeting, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and she just believed. And she went down to Bible school. And I mean, in Bible school, there's probably a lot of like people that have been in, had hopes to be in ministry for years and years and have known Jesus for a long time and going into the ministry, and they're just getting trained to do it. And here comes Julia down there and doesn't really know anything about anything except for the fact that she loves Jesus. And she's going out and, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but hundreds of people were getting saved, and she goes to this one lady in this parking lot, and this lady was deaf and mute. She could not hear and she could not speak. And Julia went through the script with her, like reading it to her. We have like this gospel salvation script that just is really basic and tells people how they can get saved. Went through that with her and then says, I'm going to pray for you, and puts her hand in her ears. Did you pray once or twice? Three times. She prayed not once, not twice, but three times. And then all of a sudden, this lady starts talking and could hear. I mean, totally supernatural right there. And I mean, when you were praying for her, did you feel like anything like sensational or like a big cloud of glory, big glory ball hit you in the head right before it happened? I mean, absolutely not. It doesn't have to be that way. I think we just put too much like, you know, religious mumbo jumbo into it that we feel like we have to have this sensational experience. Man, you probably won't feel anything. You just pray for that person and let God move. And that lady got totally healed. You know, she was just in Bible school. Hadn't even, was that year one? First year of Bible school. Let me tell you, first year Bible schools don't know anything. Speaking from experience, they think they know everything. I'll tell you that. I thought I knew everything my first year of Bible school. After I graduated Bible school and started ministry, I realized I didn't know anything. And then another instance was my brother Tim. I mean, he's a bug man. So that means he goes out and he kills bugs as a profession. He's a professional bug killer in Kentucky. And he comes across this guy, and the guy, he's there to kill the guy's bugs, and this guy looks like pale-faced. He was on his way out. He was dying, and he knew he was dying. The doctors told him that he was dying. He was getting ready to die. I'll probably get some of the details wrong, but I'll skip the details. In the end, he ends up just praying for the guy that he's going to get healed. And so he comes back, I think, you know, I mean, Bugman comes once a month. So he comes back the next month and he's like, where's the guy? He wasn't there. Apparently he was out playing golf because he had gotten totally healed. So, like, I mean, it didn't happen in an instant, but over those few weeks, like his color started coming back, his body started revitalizing. And this is coming from a Bugman. Someone who like has like cockroaches crawling all over him. I mean, he crawls under like, he has to crawl under the crawl spaces in the house, dark spiders, cobwebs, everything. You would not expect some nasty bug man to come into your house to pray for somebody that's dying and for a miracle to happen. I mean, the scripture says that when they heard the words of, Was it Peter and John, that they said, these people are uneducated and ignorant men. I imagine that is what it probably looked like when a bug man comes to pray for you to get healed. You know, like, who is this guy? How is this going to, like, do anything? But the power is in Jesus. And he prayed that in Jesus' name this man would get healed. So you don't have to be in full-time ministry. Whatever your profession is, when you come across a situation where somebody needs Jesus, give them Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.